Hello and welcome everyone to The Dawn of Man. This is a brand new podcast hosted by myself, Victor Murillo, an undergraduate student, live from and attending California State University, Dominguez Hills. This podcast is an opportunity for me to share interesting stories, facts, and events during specific eras of world history. In our first dozen of episodes, I will be sharing stories, facts, and events of both World War I and World War II. My goal is to present to you stories that are not looked at enough and why these events matter. I recently took a class about both world wars and I thought I knew a lot about both, but it turns out I didn't. Personally, I never focused on the small details, and to my surprise, I found out a lot and it really stuck with me as something that is in interest to many. What better way to start this podcast and talk about these series of events that come from both world wars that changed not just one nation's history, but that impacted multiple. Today, we will dive into the sinking of the RMS Lusitania ship, which is one of the main reasons why the United States entered the First World War. With the 20th century beginning, Europe found itself growing tensions among each other. Alliances were building, political tensions would rise, and nationalism was growing all over the place. After things boiled up with the Serbians and Austria inherited the throne, Franz Ferdinand, his assassination would be followed through. After a poor first attempt at the assassination due to a bad throw of a grenade, Franz wouldn't be saved just yet as he would be shot and killed next to his wife Sophie on the second attempt of his assassination. This would lead to Austria declaring war on Serbia right after, and as mentioned earlier on why things were twisting in Europe in the first place, with the formation of alliances, Russia, who was in alliance with Serbia, would also declare war on Austria in response. It's like when your friend is in trouble with another guy and that guy wants to fight your friend all of a sudden. Then your friend that you said that you back him up in anything, no matter what it is, now looks at you to own up to your word. And of course you're going to. But now just imagine that with too many friends backing up their friends, Germany, Italy, France, and etc. And then it's just one big street fight you can't really do anything about. Anyway, so that's Europe for you. And on the sidewalk of this big street fight that we have going on, it's the good old US of A, who didn't want to be a part of this drama that was going on. Woodrow Wilson, the president of the United States from 1913 to 1921, served as the president throughout the whole war for the United States. Although the United States planned to stay neutral for the war, it wouldn't work out so well. They would still end up being involved in it before they were even completely in combat. They were already heavily involved with allies like Britain and France, giving them financial assistance to fund their side of the war, as well as help them with ammunition and weapons, which later would become a huge issue leading into World War II because of the Treaty of Versailles and how much money both Britain and France owed to the United States. But that's pretty much all the United States did. They just helped from the sidelines, like if they were a head coach of a team, until their neutral support efforts were crossing the line. The United States was already crossing the line, like how they were helping now with the war already. They were getting involved by helping their allies like Britain and France planning to stay neutral and not getting into combat or making enemies. But the enemy nations of Britain and France, mainly Germany, started noticing the United States' contributions to the war in helping France and Britain. Obviously, Germany was not going to let that slide. I mean, it's very weird to see all of a sudden in the point of view of Germany that their friends out of nowhere spawned in a bunch of money and funds, as well as weapons from overseas. This ends up becoming one of the main reasons why the Germans end up sending the Zimmermann telegram to Mexico. Because the Germans see all this help that the Allies are getting in Europe that is not in the favor of them winning the war. So they want to make sure that the United States is out of the picture and that they get their hands off Europe. So one of the big reasons why they end up sending the Zimmermann telegram is so they can try to get the United States off the war in Europe and in hopes that Mexico could start something in North America and have the United States' attention now facing Mexico, who is the neighbor of their borders in North America. This would obviously not go through with Mexico not believing the Germans could take down the United States. And either way, Mexico was already a nation that was exhausted of war following the revolution going on around the same time. So now tensions started rising between the Germans and the Americans, as this act would be one of the reasons why the United States would end up joining the war alongside that we also have the Lusitania sinking. On May 1st, 1915, one of the finest and fastest transportation ships departed from New York City on its way to Liverpool. The RMS Lusitania was a luxury ocean liner that carried almost 2,000 passengers. It had different level of luxuries from first to third class, but on May 7th, on its way to Liverpool, the harmless civilian transportation ship would soon be met with a horrible situation. due to unrestricted submarine warfare, a policy that had German U-boats sink ships to cut off supplies of the British from overseas, the Lusitania would find itself crossing the war zone that U-boats were able to sink ships. Although the ship was harmless, the U-20 boat commanded by Walter Schwager decided to sink the ship because he assumed that it was a big ship that was carrying huge amounts of ammunition and weaponry to help the Allies. Now, there is stories and sayings that the ship did have ammunition and weapons on board. Some say that the passengers had their own personal guns, or that it was maybe captains on the boat that had them for emergencies. But it was for sure not anything that could supply a war. Some more details I found about in my own research about the Lusitania was that I found out that it was a rival ship to the Titanic, as it was in competition with it being known as the fastest ship on the planet at the time. Although it was faster than Titanic, it did end up sinking faster as well, with the Lusitania sinking in 18 minutes compared to the Titanic, which ended up sinking for more than 2 hours. When sinking, I actually found out that the torpedoes from the U-boats didn't do the most immediate damage to the ship, but it was actually an explosion from inside the ship that caused the ship to sink quicker and made the situation worse as chaos would expand. And when rushing to try to save as many passengers as they can that were aboard, only 6 out of the 48 lifeboats would be able to stay safe and carry passengers. This obviously pressured the ship's crew, since the internal explosion now happening made the ship sink quicker. They had to act as fast as they can. At the end of the day, the Germans did sink it in mistake for an ammunition boat and thought that they could cut off the supplies off the Allies in their favor, but it was simply just a luxury ship on its way to Liverpool. Almost 1,200 passengers of the ship would be killed, most of them being British, and 128 of them ended up being American. Immediately, this would rise tensions between the United States and the Germans even more. Imminently after the sinking, Americans would cry out in anger against the Germans for what they did, and there was a common anti-German feeling throughout the United States. And it would only get worse after a similar situation would happen with the SS Arabic, which is another ocean liner that would be sunk in the same way as the Lusitania by another U-boat that would also end up killing 2 more Americans. Now with tensions rising and pretty much boiling up, without question, leading to President Woodrow Wilson now taking action. He doesn't go 0 to 100 and go straight into war, but he tries to resolve the issues with unrestricted submarine warfare and its faults it has already been causing with sinking ships and killing innocents. Because not only did the U-boat sink the Lusitania and the SS Arabic, but they also took down a French passenger ship as well, which was named the SS Sussex. So Wilson would end up threatening the Germans and cutting off diplomatic ties with them unless they fixed their tactics with the U-boats. After this, the Germans and Americans would now have this weird, awkward relationship, followed by these weird feeling to Germany that this is where we could start to see the United States now having their guard up and start preparing for war if it has to come down to that. Because even after threats from Wilson and the U-boats supposedly changing their tactics in submarine warfare and their promise to, you know, make sure what they really are targeting is something that is a threat to them, they would still end up sinking small American ships, and things were just not looking too good. They were not working out, and the negotiations would not resolve anything. And it was just making it so frustrating for the United States to stay neutral in this war. But of course, that wasn't going to happen in this case, because on both sides' point of view, what do you expect, really? Both of your actions are leading to war between you guys. On the American side, you have them trying to help out the Allies in Europe and just benefiting for economic reasons, trying to let them figure this thing out by themselves because you don't want to get your hands dirty. But on the German side of things, of course you don't want your enemies getting stronger by this rich guy overseas sending them money to help. So you have to do something about it, but you also don't want to fight this big rich dude overseas. But how are you going to expect him to not fight you when you're killing his people because you're paranoid, killing everything inside because you think it's cargo and ammunition to help your enemies? I swear, man, history is just one big joke sometimes. I mean, really, you have such a silly situation going on. It just doesn't make sense. Ultimately, the United States would join the war in further support of the Allies in help to take down Germany. As they had enough of the war, as they were already doing so much overseas, they might as well get completely involved and end things for themselves. I mean, after giving as much money and weapons as you can to Britain and France, and they still would not end up ending this war, it got frustrating for the United States. Especially after they started losing American people over the U-boats, and Americans at home were mad at Germany. I mean, they didn't want Germany to think that they could just let this slide or think that any of the actions that they have been doing are okay. So after all that, you know, the United States just ended up pulling the MCU Thanos post-credit scene and just said, fine, I'll do it myself and just get this thing over with. I hope you guys have been finding this telling of the ships interesting so far, but now I want to talk about the importance and significance of the Lusitania and the ships that were sunk due to the unrestricted U-boat warfare. I felt like this event was perfect to talk about in my first episode of the podcast for good reasoning. First, I want to mention that I personally think that the reasons why the United States joined World War I often get overshadowed and not paid too much attention by media, education systems, or people in general. Obviously, people big into history and that are interested in World War I know about these events, especially if you are American or German. But to many people, they are more likely to know about Pearl Harbor and how that is the big reason why the United States got into World War II. And it is a significant event in history, but it also overshadows World War I because it is later and a more bigger war that is talked about more, that had more series events of drama. I personally didn't find out about the Lusitania or these ships sinking until this past fall semester that I took a class at the Dominguez Hills. Growing up in middle school and even in high school, to think about it, I was only talking about World War II mainly and didn't know too much about World War I, besides some basic stuff. The only reasoning I had for why the United States ended up joining World War I was just because of the threat of the Zimmerman telegram and because the Allies needed our help, but that was pretty much it. Not too sure if this is just something that is common around the United States, but it for sure wasn't talked about in my schools growing up. I even asked a couple of my friends if they knew anything about the sinking of these ships, and most of them just responded with multiple question marks or just simply no. And if anyone listening who knows about these ships sinking beforehand or that actually got this information in school growing up, please let me know if you have heard about them before. I'd like to see in what way were you presented to these events. No matter what though, it is important to know about the situation of unrestricted submarine warfare and what it caused. Yes, the Zimmerman telegram and the Allies' cry of support were loud enough for the United States to pick up the phone for the call of duty, but these sinkings and the American lives lost on these ships, especially the 120 Americans on the Lusitania, gave a further drive to the United States to go and end this war. It is sad to see the faults and consequences of the German U-boats that caused issues and raised tensions between the United States and Germany. But I find the Lusitania very important to World War history because of its impact not only on the shift in tactics and how to handle submarine warfare, but also due to its immature decisions that the U-boats made in sinking these ships that had severe casualties, but on its underlooked impact on the drive that it gave the United States to join the war and to be the strong push to finish it. I hope that I delivered a brand new story and context to your timeline of World War I, as well as a new piece to your puzzle of World War I history. I appreciate everyone that lended their ears to listen to this podcast episode and give me the opportunity to tell you something that I find interesting. Making a podcast is something that I always wanted to do for a couple of years now, and I am glad I'm finally doing it. Thanks to the KDHR radio station at Dominguez Hills for providing me the opportunity to do so. Do you know about the incredible fighters of Uptown Harlem, New York, or have you heard of the amazing 369th Regiment? In our next episode of The Dawn of Man, we're diving into the remarkable story of the Harlem Hellfighters, a group of heroic African-American soldiers all from Harlem, New York, fighting the enemy in Europe. They have bravery, respect, and awards they've earned, but I want to give them the spotlight that they deserve. Thank you guys, and I will see you guys in the next one.